From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carl Castle. Dubai's massive debt problem continues to have repercussions on the world's stock markets. But as Larry Miller reports from London, reaction is now mixed.
The Abu Dhabi and Dubai stock markets dropped between 7 and 9% just before the Thanksgiving and Eid holiday break. The state-owned Dubai World Development Company said it is $60 billion in debt and wants repayments frozen and the debt restructured. Over the weekend, Abu Dhabi said it will pick and choose which debts to help pay. These latest falls came after Dubai's state-owned construction company, Nakheel, asked for trading on some of its Islamic bonds to be suspended. After taking a hit at the end of last week, the Asian markets rebounded today, gaining around 3%. Exposure to Dubai is greatest among European banks, and a Hong Kong analyst said the Far Eastern markets overreacted. In early trading, London, Paris, and Frankfurt are down around 1%. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
The holiday shopping season officially kicked off on Black Friday, and now more than 85 million people are expected to shop for holiday gifts online today, also known as Cyber Monday. Danielle Carson reports.
Retailers in cyberspace aren't feeling the pinch of a sluggish economy as strongly as their shopping mall counterparts. In fact, online sales over the holidays should climb 8%.
Online is the one bright spot in retail. We're expecting that 70% of the retailers are going to see growth this year in their online sales.
Scott Silverman, executive director of Shop.org, says online shoppers spent nearly $850 million on Cyber Monday last year. He expects e-commerce to get an even bigger slice of the spending pie this year.
People see the internet as a place to find the best prices, and that's why we're seeing a lot of people shift their shopping online, and we're seeing some of the growth there.
According to a Nielsen online survey, more than a third said they'll spend half their holiday budget shopping on the web. For NPR News, I'm Danielle Carson in Washington.
President Obama has a full week coming up, and it's a crucial one. Tomorrow, the president unveils his Afghanistan plans in a primetime speech to the nation from West Point. Democrat Carl Levin, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, warns that any U.S. troop surge must be joined to a surge in Afghan forces. The senator says the U.S. must help the Afghans achieve their own success. Also this week, a White House summit will be held on new ways to battle rising unemployment. On Capitol Hill, the Senate begins debate on a sweeping health care overhaul, and President Obama is making preparation for next week's trip to the climate summit in Copenhagen. In Tokyo, stock prices were higher today. The Nikkei rose by 264 points, or 2.9%. Oil prices rose in Asian trading. Benchmark crude was up by 52 cents to $76.57 a barrel. This is NPR News. Police have surrounded a house in Seattle where inside is believed to be a suspect in yesterday's shooting deaths of four police officers in a coffee shop in suburban Tacoma, Washington. Police say the suspect has a violent criminal history in the state of Arkansas. NPR's Martin Costi reports from Seattle.
Investigators are convinced the shooter entered a suburban Tacoma coffee shop with the intention of killing police officers. The shop is part of a coffee chain called Forza Coffee, operated by a retired police officer, and this particular location was also known as a hangout for local cops. Yesterday morning, four of them were there: Mark Renninger, Ronald Owens, Tina Griswold, and Greg Richards. None of them survived the shooting. Pierce County Sheriff Paul Pastor is leading the investigation.
This is an example of the danger that police officers and deputy sheriffs and state troopers face every day.
Less than a month ago, a police officer was ambushed and shot to death in Seattle. A suspect has been charged in that case. Martin Costi, NPR News, Seattle.
Muslim groups around the world are criticizing the decision by Swiss voters to ban the construction of minarets, the towers on mosques. The head of one Muslim group in Europe called it a sad day for religious freedom. Muslim groups are calling the vote biased and anti-Islamic. The vote is the strongest reaction yet in Europe to anxieties about growing Muslim minorities. There have been legal challenges, including efforts to ban headscarves for women and the construction of mosques. I'm Carl Castle, NPR News, in Washington.